Welcome to What's Ailing the World, the ultimate in reality radio with information that can save your life. On the show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial systems protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, planet, and health, who suppress the natural solutions to all of these problems that are already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical first step for everyone with a conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. And that's why I always tell people, don't believe anything, or my guests say, check things out for yourself, because it's only when you validate the information that you can actually let it into your consciousness to wake you up and get you to do something about it. Because, of course, the truth is not going to set you free unless you act on the truth. Okay, if you haven't yet checked out my website, I suggest you do, Reversing Vaccine Induced, I-N-D-U-C-E-D, diseases.com, or Dr. Carley, D-R-C-A-R-L-E-Y.com. The Reversing Vaccine Induced Diseases.com is easier and smaller to deal with, so I suggest you start there. Click on the Vaccine Induced Disease tab. Download the four diagrams that I've created. The first diagram is the cause of all disease on one piece of paper. And then listen to the link below there where you can hear the conference I gave in Chicago in 2008 explaining the diagrams. I have posted a $10,000 reward on drcarley.com over 6 years ago for any white coat to refute any of my information on one of my shows. And, of course, to this day, I have received no takers to my challenge. All of us must face the truth. And if you think that just by putting your head in the sand, being an ostrich, hiding under the table, remaining ignorant, or worst of all, working for the psychopath, selling your soul for cash, that you will be safe, you are wrong. Because you cannot negotiate nor compromise with evil. As I always say, evil is evil even to its own. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. I use donations to keep my websites up, purchase books and medical papers I need for my research and things of that nature. And I really need your help, folks, if you're able to do anything. It's very appreciated. You can also help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them. And you can contact me by emailing me at drcarley@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. My toll-free number is 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you live outside the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean, then you can use Skype to contact me. My Skype username is drcarley1, and please only use Skype if you're outside that area, because I just get too many Skype requests, and my Skype contacts box is just too huge. Always remember, I do not practice medicine or give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you, to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Because in my case, as well as in so many other cases, if a medical doctor actually learns how to heal people, they find out very quickly that that's the one thing that's not allowed. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carley Archives. If you click on Dr. Carley Archives, that will bring you to the main page of the archives, which has various shows I've been on over the years talking about vaccines. Not all of them, because I'm on 1 to 3 shows every day now at this point. There's also separate links at the top of that page for my These Changing Times shows, and also for my Republic Broadcasting shows. And each show is labeled as far as the question being answered, what's ailing America or what's ailing the world. It's pretty much the same, so you can pick and choose which subjects you want to learn about. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 785-336-5190, or you can also go to the chat room, which the board op does monitor, and post any comments or questions there that you would like us to respond to, and we will be instant messaged in terms of what the comments or questions are. If you do call in, very important to please mute your phone while speaking or while waiting to be brought on to speak so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. Please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. And, of course, if you haven't yet obtained for yourself a Silver Lungs generator, I strongly suggest you do so, because the organisms coming out of the 1,300 bioworker labs just in the U.S. alone continues to increase massively. We just heard within the last week of a young girl diagnosed with a bubonic plague, the Black Death from the 14th century. You see, these psychopaths, they've got all these organisms in their laboratories, not to mention the fact that they're tweaking them to make them worse. If you have a silver generator, that will take care of anything unless you've been inoculated with the germ, in which case you need to get a consult to learn which homeopathic remedy will help you. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing the world, is the big lies that underpin the Jew world order. My guest is John Friend, but before I bring him on, let me just give a disclaimer that the views expressed on the broadcast do not reflect the views of the station, but rather are the, I don't even want to say beliefs, are the opinions from massive research of the host, guest, and callers. And my guest today is John Friend. As I mentioned, he graduated from the University of Nebraska and started blogging after waking up to 9/11, mostly about issues relating to Jewish power and current events, 9/11, the global war on terror, World War II, and the Hollow Hoax, etc. And his blog spot is, let me just see here, John Friend's, and that's Friend like you would have a friend, with an S at the end. John Friend's blog spot, excuse me, let me start again. johnfriendsblog.blogspot.com. Okay, thank you very much, John, for being on the show, and I'll just let you take it wherever you'd like to go.
All right, well, thank you very much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on here today with you. And, yeah, I think this is a perfect topic to discuss, because really the big lies of the 20th and the 21st century really sort of dominate our political discourse and you know, how people see the world and how they sort of operate politically and, you know, intellectually in this world. And it's really incredible because, you know, I view the alleged Jewish Holocaust of World War II, you know, at the hands of Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists in Germany, I view this as the big lie of the 20th century. And then I view the fraudulent 9/11 attacks as the big lie of the 21st century. And we've seen how the Hollow Hoax has been used to justify the illegitimate criminal state of Israel. It's been used, as basically a weapon against European countries and the West in general, for Jews to basically gain sympathy and, for them to basically control the historical narrative. And if you look at either of these events, they're not only completely fraudulent, but it's really the exact opposite of what happened. For instance, on 9/11, we were told that Muslim extremists attacked America because they hate us for our freedoms. when in reality, Israel and a criminal network of Jews planned, benefited, carried out, and covered up 9/11 at every, you know, at every step of the way. And then if you look at, you know, at the alleged Holocaust in World War II, it wasn't the Jews who were Holocausted, it was the Germans, the Japanese, and other Eastern European peoples who were basically, you know, genocided and and had war, tremendous war crimes committed against them. You know, the Jews and the countries that they controlled, the Soviet Union, the United States, and the United Kingdom mainly, they were the real war criminals, and they were responsible for the real Holocaust of World War II, unlike, you know, the fraudulent Jewish Holocaust that we hear all the time about.
Yes. If I could ask you a question, one thing I'm trying to get listeners to do who are having trouble waking up their family and friends, because this is a very big frustration for everybody. You know, there are so many excellent documentaries out there on various subjects. I just wanted to ask you, what is your favorite documentary on 9/11? The best one I've seen is Missing Links. Do you know of any that's better, or do you think that's a good one for people to obtain?
I'd say that's definitely the best one out there, just because it really gets into, you know, who was behind 9/11 and who benefited, and sort of, you know, the ideological framework behind the whole global war on terror. So I would say that that's definitely the best one to watch. I mean, if anybody's interested in just sort of, you know, the basics of 9/11, you know, there's all sorts of YouTube videos and articles you could find online. I know Dr. Jim Fetzer has written, you know, just basic, you know, 9/11 articles for people. Dr. David Ray Griffin, you know, his book, The New Pearl Harbor, is really great. So, yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, basic info when it comes to 9/11, but a lot of people kind of shy away from the, you know, from the whole Israeli or Jewish angle. But
right.
What I tell
people, the reason I asked about documentaries, because what I'm envisioning all over the world as the holiday season approaches, as people are trapped with their brain-dead family members, you know, to lock the doors and to stick some of these DVDs into their DVD players and to just have that as the background, you know, so that they're kind of forced to listen to some of this. But, yes, I agree. There's lots of good stuff out there. Just even checking on 9/11, I mean, you could spend weeks on YouTube. That's why I always look for something specific that people can address. But one of the most obvious things to me as time has gone on, and I don't know if you've seen, there's an excellent video on YouTube called The Eternal Jew, which was made back in the 1940s, which actually basically tells who these people really are. You know, they're not these people that they pretend to be. And the reason they were kicked out of so many countries is because they lie, cheat, steal, kill. As a matter of fact, according to the Talmud, that's what they're supposed to do. You know, that is their holy book, and that's what they're told, you know, to do, that we are goy, we're not even human, and that they can do whatever they want. And it's really amazing, talk about opposite day, how they have created these anti-Semitic hate crime laws, where if you tell the truth, you know, you're called an anti-Semite. You know, I think in Canada, you can actually go to jail for talking about these things, which is just goes to show the aiding and abetting of the puppets of the other governments.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think in pretty much all of Western Europe, except for maybe a couple countries, it's, you know, it's illegal to even question the official Holocaust narrative. You know, it's basically illegal to criticize Jews and Jewish power and to speak openly about it. I mean, it's, you know, you'll be called an anti-Semite and, you know, potentially have hate, you know, quote unquote hate crimes or hate speech leveled against you. So, yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely incredible how our basically all of our governments have been completely subverted and taken over by these organized Jewish interests. And, you know, nobody's willing to stand up and you know, do what's right and speak the truth. And one thing that the Jews absolutely hate and totally have demonized Adolf Hitler, because he was one of the only leaders to actually stand up and speak the truth about the Jews and you know, make moves against them and try to get them out of his country and out of his government and out of their media and their educational system. Because you're exactly right. I mean, that video, The Eternal Jew, really kind of explains this quite nicely. Is these people are basically a bunch of criminals. You know, I mean, like you said, if you read the Talmud, you know, it's a despicable book. It calls for Jews to basically cheat and defraud and even kill, you know, the goyim or the non-Jew. And, I mean, it's just incredible that people can't, you know, wake up and recognize what's going on. And, I mean, Jews have even admitted this over, you know, over the courses of history. You know, there's all sorts of quotes from a variety of Jewish leaders and rabbis and politicians that really kind of show the true nature of their agenda and, you know, how they operate. And, you know, speaking of the big lies, Adolf Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, I have a quote here I'd like to read. It's somewhat long, but I think it's worth reading. He was basically talking about how the Jews have an unqualified capacity for falsehood and how they basically just flip the script and totally distort history to basically demonize their enemies, and they project their own crimes that they actually commit onto their enemies. And Hitler's, and I'd like to read this real quick. He said, all this was inspired by the principle, which is quite true in itself, that in the big lie there is always a certain force of credibility, because the broad masses of a nation are always more easily corrupted in the deeper strata of their emotional nature than consciously or voluntarily, and thus in the primitive simplicity of their minds they more readily fall victims to the big lie than the small lie, since they themselves often tell small lies in little matters, but would be ashamed to resort to large-scale falsehoods. It would never come into their heads to fabricate colossal untruths, and they would not believe that others could have the impudence to distort the truth so infamously. Even though the facts which prove this to be so may be brought clearly to their minds, they will still doubt and waver and will continue to think that there may be some other explanation. From time immemorial, however, the Jews have been known better than any others how falsehood and calamity can be exploited. And I mean, I think that just totally nails, you know, this whole concept of the big lie, and, you know, how the Jews basically use these big lies like the Holocaust and 9/11 to totally manipulate us. I mean, it like you said, it totally you know, affects us in our deeper strata and you know, corrupts us in our emotions. And it's just incredible that people can't, you know, break out of this and then actually do some critical thinking and when they investigate these matters.
Well, I want to ask you a favor. If you could, you know, after the show, please email me that quote, because that quote is so perfect. It holds true for everything. Of course, the first thing that comes to my mind is the big lie that vaccines prevent disease when they are actually biological weapons. But we could think of any area. Such as with this fake election coming up, as all these talking heads, you know, I monitor television so I can report on my shows what's going on, but it just sickens me, you know, how they're pretending that there's two separate parties, and they're pretending like it makes a difference who's elected president, because there is no election. You know, they pick the one they want to win, and then with voter machine fraud, they make it happen. So this applies to every areas of our lives, and that is what they specialize in. And as a matter of fact, I have realized over the years that one of our biggest problems is, just as Hitler said, that people of conscience cannot even conceive of the level of evil that we are dealing with in the case of these psychopaths who have no conscience. I have actually concluded that this bloodline, especially the Khazars, they don't have a conscience. They have some defect. I don't think they have anything above a third chakra. And it's actually like a scorpion. You know, there's a story about, you know, the frog was asked by the scorpion to take it over the water, and the frog said, no, because you'll sting me. And then the scorpion hopped on the frog after the frog agreed, and the scorpion stung the frog, and the frog said, why did you do this? And the scorpion said, because that's my nature. And that's the problem that we have. You know, you have so many people, I mean, especially the Christians, the whole Christian church group, they've all been, you know, lied to believe that the Jews are the chosen people and they have to support Israel and all this hogwash. And in fact, those bloodline psychopaths are destroying their lives in every way. It's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, you're absolutely right. And I actually just read an article about how there was all these Christians over marching in Jerusalem, you know, supporting the Jewish state and standing by Israel. And, you know, I mean, these Christians are over there in Israel, and these Jews over there, they spit on them and they curse at them and they, you know, deface their cathedrals and their, you know, the Christian churches over there. I mean, there's always an article if you follow the Jewish, you know, the Jewish press over in Israel. There's always an article about how some crazy Jewish settler has attacked a Christian church or spit on a priest or, you know, cussed out a Christian walking down the street. I mean, these people hate Christians. And yet we have these brain-dead Christian Zionists that absolutely love Israel and they love the Jews, and it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a version of the Stockholm Syndrome where you love your persecutor. Although, you know, they've been so lied to. All of these churches have been taken over by high-level Masons, and they're just led down, you know, a path to destruction, even in many cases having vaccine clinics in the churches. But we have a question from one of our listeners, Kim. She wants to know if you think that we might have an active organized force within the U.S. that is working to get rid of these monsters and get them out of control.
Oh man, I'd sure like to think so. I don't know if I can say that though. I mean, you sort of see evidence of that with this latest intelligence agency analysis of Israel, and how they basically came out and said that Israel is a strategic liability for the United States, and you know it doesn't benefit the United States having our, you know, relationship with Israel the way it is. But then again, I don't know. I mean, I don't see any, you know, major generals or anybody in the military speaking up against these wars, really. I mean, some of them have said that the war against Iran would be a mistake and stuff like that. But I mean, who's out there talking about 9/11? Who's out there talking about, you know, how all these wars are completely fraudulent and based on lies? I just don't see too many people, whether it's politicians, nobody in the media certainly saying that. You know, I don't see any generals or anybody in the military saying that either. So, I mean, I'd like to think that there is some sort of organized force, you know, trying to do something about these criminals and these parasites that, you know, control our government and our media and our economy. But I just don't know if that's the case. I'd like to think so, but...
Well, one of the problems that we have, and the reason I've never formed a group, is because as soon as you form a group, it's always infiltrated. And you bring in the provocateurs and all the rest of it. And so that pretty much ruins everything. I think things have to be done on a grassroots level. And, of course, if they're... Let's say we started an anti-Zionist party as one of the third parties. You know, you can imagine what would happen with that. As a matter of fact, one of the... I believe it was the first third party in the United States was the anti-Masonic party. And they quickly destroyed that because, you know, they're all cut from the same cloth. They all work together. And that's the problem that we have. You would have the ADL and all these other pro-Zionist agencies coming in and start making charges of hate crimes and such. And it doesn't matter how much evidence you have. I forget the name of the person. Deanna Spingola had interviewed somebody. She does a lot of shows. I know you've been on her show as well, about this, you know, topic. And there was some individual, I believe it was in Canada, he was charged with a hate crime, and he actually had the documentation to prove that everything he was saying was true. And that caused quite a stir. So even if you have the evidence, you know, they will do anything they can to assassinate you, destroy you, you know, keep the evidence out of court. That's one of their favorite tricks. It's truly amazing the tactics they have come up with to keep the truth from the people. Everything is opposite now. Truth is lies, lies is truth. You know, it's just gotten so sick. What keeps me going is that I know that more and more people are waking up, and as they do more and more insane things, you know, people are being forced to see that there's a gefilte fish rotting in Washington.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think you were probably referring to the Ernst Zundel trial in Canada.
That's it, yep. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that if you know?
I mean, he was a German citizen who ended up moving to Canada, and he was a revisionist, and he started putting out a lot of information about the, you know, the fraudulent Holocaust story, and he was trying to set the record straight. And he was sued or he was arrested for some sort of hate crime law in Canada, and he marshaled a great defense, and he actually sent a gentleman named Fred Leuchter. He paid him to go over and investigate some of these alleged death camps over in Germany and Eastern Europe. And I actually have a couple quotes here from the Leuchter report, where he basically investigated all these camps and found that they were not death camps. And I just have a couple quotes here I'll read real quick. Fred Leuchter. He says, "The author finds no evidence that any of the facilities normally alleged to be execution gas chambers were ever used as such, and find further that because of the design and fabrication of these facilities, they could not have been utilized for execution gas chambers." And then he goes on to say, "We have produced definitive proof that there were no execution gas chambers utilized for genocidal purposes by the Germans at these wartime camps. The simple fact is that the Holocaust story is not true." And, I mean, this was in a court of law, you know, he did this investigation. And this Fred Leuchter guy certainly, you know, was not benefiting by providing this information, you know, for Ernst Zundel. You know, he's probably demonized and run out of his profession for actually being truthful about this. So, I mean, it's just the whole entire Holocaust narrative is utterly a fabrication. And like I said, it's literally the exact opposite of what happened. There's a couple books that I read just to sort of wake up and really kind of understand the whole Holocaust. The whole Holohoax fraud. And one of them is titled The Hoax of the 20th Century by a revisionist named Arthur Butz. And then I also just recently read, well, I've read it twice now. It's a book by Victor Thorne, and it's titled The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, Debunking the 20th Century's Biggest Lie. And, I mean, this is a very easy to read. It's not too long of a book, and he just goes through and basically debunks every single aspect of the official Holocaust narrative. And I actually did a blog post back in July, and it was titled "Jew Admits Holocaust is a Fraud and a PSYOP." And I was basically just quoting an article that I found from Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn Yeager is another revisionist. She has a radio show, and there was an article from the 12th edition, and an American Jewish man basically admitted that the Holocaust is a fraud, and he said, you know, if he believes the 6 million figure, he said, "Naturally not, for that they had neither the time nor the means," and he was basically saying that the Germans couldn't have possibly killed 6 million Jews. And then he goes on to say that how the Jews make the most of it to good effect, you know, how they use this story and this propaganda for their own purposes. And then he also says the propaganda has penetrated too deeply into the subconsciousness of the masses that it would never be dislodged. So, I mean, he's basically admitting that this whole Holocaust fraud is a psyop, and that into our consciousness that it's never dislodged, because, I mean, we get it in the schools, we get it in Hollywood films, we get it, you know, on a daily basis. You could pick up a Jewish newspaper and read a story about a Holocaust survivor or some terrible story that, the Germans committed a massacre of Jews. I mean, they just constantly beat this into our heads. And the whole entire narrative is completely fraudulent.
Yes, as a matter of fact, the last time I had Diana Spingola on my show, she was mentioning, I forget how many millions of dollars that Congress has allocated to build these Holocaust museums, once again, to keep the fraud going. And, you know, first of all, our country's broke, you know, so you ask yourself, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? Of course, we know the reason, because our Congress is occupied by Zionists, and many of them, of course, were involved in getting this legislation passed. One of the main ones being this guy Bernie Sanders, who pretends he's an independent. He appears on Free Speech TV every week, you know, pretending to go against the Republicans when, as I said before, it's all just one mass that's controlled by the Zionists. But, you know, there's so many ways that they're doing this, like you said, to indoctrinate the young people. One thing I always wondered, these alleged Holocaust survivors, you know, the ones that come out with these tattoos on their arms, do you have any information on that? I mean, were they really tattooed as a method of, you know, just basically identifying them to know who they were when they were put in the work camps? Because Hitler was rounding them up because they're basically doing criminal activities. But was that whole tattoo thing a lie? Have some of them gotten tattoos just to keep that part of the story going? Or do you know anything about that?
Well, from what I know is you know, some of these Jews that were, they were basically put in work camps. You know, they were not death camps.
Right.
You know, they were actually treated pretty well. I mean, you know, they were basically forced to work for the German war effort. But I mean, they were actually paid. You know, they lived, you know, somewhat nicely in these camps. I mean, Victor Thorne in that book I just mentioned really gets into this and explains it really nicely and really concisely. If anybody's interested, I'd really recommend them picking up that book. But yeah, I mean, I think some of these Jews were actually tattooed. And speaking of that, there was an article recently in the New York Times. I can send you a link to it. And it's, I mean, it's just this typical Holocaust propaganda. And the title of it is "Proudly Bearing Elder Scars, Their Skin Says Never Forget." And it's about how these Israelis are actually going out and getting these tattoos like their grandparents had as a way to remember the Holocaust and just commemorate it. And it's just absolutely bizarre. These people are so deranged, and it's just incredible that they just continue to propagate this myth about the Holocaust. And I mean, they really need to, because it's sort of what underpins their whole entire agenda. You know, like we said at the beginning, this fraudulent Holocaust narrative and 9/11 are really the big lies that underpin the entire Jew World Order agenda.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, they lied about both things, and we all know the results of 9/11 and all of the laws that have been passed to take away all of our rights. As a matter of fact, I had sent you before the show, someone had sent me a link to govtrack.us/congressbills, H.R. 6566, to amend the Homeland Security Act of 2002 to require the administrator of FEMA to provide guidance and coordination for mass fatality planning. So, and this was dated September 28th of 2012. So while they're, you know, showing other things on C-SPAN and apparently not getting anything else done, you know, like for the budget, they just keep kicking the can down the road, etc. But behind the scenes, they're doing things like this. So we have to wonder, what is this mass fatality that apparently is being planned?
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible. I'm looking at that bill right now. And I was just trying to figure out who actually introduced it into the Congress. I'm not sure. It looks like a Miss Richardson, but I'm not sure who that is. But yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. All of these, you know, all this war on terror legislation, you know, the NDAA and you know, the torture and all these wars, this whole entire agenda, the whole entire global war on terror agenda is all completely Jewish. It's all manufactured by Israel and Jewish interests in the United States. And we could talk about that. You know, I've kind of focused on this aspect of the whole, you know, 9/11 global war on terror, you know, quite a bit on my blog. I mean, for instance, the whole entire ideological framework for the global war on terror was set back in the late 70s in Israel by Benjamin Netanyahu. There was a conference titled, I believe it was a conference on international terrorism, and he was basically trying to get the West to become allies with Israel in this fight against international terrorism and Islamic extremism all the way back in the late 70s. I mean, this agenda goes back that far. And I mean, it's all totally benefiting Israel. It's not benefiting anybody else. It's not benefiting the oil companies. Not benefiting the quote unquote corporations. The whole entire industry is a Jewish racket, and it's totally benefiting Israel and nobody else.
Exactly. I mean, it's just mind-boggling when you actually think about it. And I remember when what's his name, Mel Gibson, had a few too many drinks and got involved in that accident where he started, you know, spewing out his feelings against the Jews, and everything he said was true, but they used that to, you know, discredit him and try to take him out of the movie business, which is totally controlled by the Jews. Unfortunately for them, you know, he's too wealthy for them to totally do that, although his, you know, prominence in movies has certainly gone down since then. And you know, I'm convinced that they must have done something to him, you know, to get him to the point where he so often goes off, you know, like in his recent problems that he was having with his girlfriend that he had a child with, and doing stupid things like saying, you know, very angry and mean things on the phone that, of course, they taped. But anybody that says these things, which are totally true, like one of the main ones that he was saying was, how Hollywood is controlled by the Jews. Well, Hollywood is controlled by the Jews. It's self-evident. That's why they've slowly, you know, gotten us to the point where you have pornography, you know, during prime time, soft porn, all the different things they're doing to corrupt the children. It's totally disgusting. And yet to actually say that, you know, is a problem. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of that, there's two really good articles about this that I always point out to people. One of them was actually written, well, they're both written by Jews. One of them was from 2008 in the Los Angeles Times. And it was a Jewish writer named Joel Stein. And the title of the article is How Jewish is Hollywood? And anybody can just do a Google search and they should be able to find it online. And he basically was talking about how he was investigating whether or not Hollywood was in fact Jewish, and he kind of goes around and he talks about how he goes to all the different Hollywood movie theater or movie studios, and everywhere he goes he finds Jews running it. And at the very end of the article he says, "But I don't care if Americans think we're running the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street, or the government. I just care that we get to keep running them." And of course he's talking about his tribe members and how they do in fact run the news media, Hollywood, Wall Street, and the government. And he's just openly bragging about this, and yet if you or I are to say the same thing, you know, we're demonized as anti-Semites. It's just, you know, it's just absolutely incredible. And it's something that, you know, I don't stand for this anymore. I mean, it's just so ridiculous, you know. We need to be able to speak the truth and not be afraid of the consequences. And you know, I don't care if I'm demonized as an anti-Semite. I mean, there was another article written by a Jew in a newspaper called The Times of Israel, and this was back in just earlier this summer, I think in July, and it was an article titled Jews Do Control the Media. And this Jewish author is just going through and talking about how the Jews do control the media. And so, I mean, these people admit this. So it's just incredible that, you know, we could be demonized for just stating these simple facts publicly out loud, you know?
Right. Well, I was on a show out of the UK a couple of days ago, and we got into a discussion, Tony Kevlar and myself, actually, he's my guest on RBN tonight, about this very subject, and how they do admit these things. And I had always called it notice of grace. In other words, especially in the movies, they pretty much tell us what's going on. You know, especially the horror movies, the sci-fi movies, those are more accurate than the evening news is. But Tony had informed me that this is actually whatever their sick tradition is, they have to tell the goy what they're doing to us. Mostly they do it in the movies because then the goy get confused and say, oh, that's fiction. But apparently, as long as they tell us what they're doing and we don't do anything about it, then it's okay according to their sick Talmudic, you know, beliefs. And that's why we must stand up and we must say no. Because, you know, as I always say, it's acting on the truth that's going to set us free. And these people are killing us. Every single problem we have on the planet, they are behind it. Because only psychopaths would decide to depopulate the Earth by 90%. Who are they to decide who's going to be depopulated when all the pollution can be gotten rid of with technologies as old as a century ago, like especially with Tesla and free energy? So everything they're doing to poison the planet could be gotten rid of, but all that technology is being suppressed. Who are they to decide who will die? Because, in fact, if they were depopulated, we could bring all this technology out and we could actually live on a beautiful Earth, you know, the way it used to be.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that people have got to understand, and that is the fact that organized Jewish interests are at war with their non-Jewish world, and they have been at war with us, you know, for centuries now. And there's a couple other quotes I have here that really just demonstrate this. And they're both written Jews. One of them was a guy named Maurice Samuel, and he wrote in 1924, he wrote an article titled "You Gentiles." And he says, this is a quote from there. He says, "In everything, we are destroyers, even in the instruments of destruction to which we turn for relief. We Jews, we, the destroyers, will remain the destroyers forever. Nothing that you will do will meet our needs and demands. We will forever destroy because we want a world of our own." And I think that really just sort of demonstrates the whole Jewish agenda. And there's one more quote I have here from, this is a 1928 from a Jew named Marcus Ravage. And he wrote an essay titled "The Real Case Against the Jews." And he says, "You have not begun to appreciate the real depth of our guilt. We are intruders. We are disturbers. We are subverters. We have taken your natural world, your ideals, your destiny, and played havoc with them. We have been at the bottom not merely of the latest great war, but of nearly all your wars, not only of the Russian, but of every other major revolution in your history. We have brought discord and confusion and frustration into your personal and public life. We are still doing it. No one can tell how long we shall go on doing it." I think both these quotes are just perfect descriptions of what the Jews are up to, you know, what they're up to and what they have been up to.
Okay, and I have to comment on that because you really got me fired up now. Because that last sentence, "No one can tell how long we will be doing it." The answer is until these monsters are stopped. That's the answer. And one question that always comes up with people is, you know, and once again, this gets back to the whole idea of people of conscience can't even conceive of these demons who are doing these things, and that is their intention to create havoc and destroy life, is that in terms of poisoning the planet, because obviously they're behind that as well. You know, the chemtrails, the GMO crops, I mean, the list is endless, poisoning the oceans. They live on the same planet. See, I've never been able to figure out, although, you know, to try to get myself into the mind of a psychopath, I could never even go there. But especially with the poisoning of the planet thing, I can understand they want to kill off the people, they want to steal everything we have, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of poisoning the planet, since they live here too, unless they are of such a different bloodline that they actually can, you know, thrive on chemicals and poisons, which is a possibility, I've never been able to come up with any other answer as to why they would be poisoning the planet. Do you have any ideas on that?
That's a good question, because like you said, you know, they're living here too. So I don't know. It's incredible what they're doing. I mean, this is an aspect that I'm sure you're much more familiar, you know, than I am about. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, these chemtrails and the poisoning of the food and, you know, these GMO foods and whatnot and the whole medical industry. It's like, there is clearly an agenda to, you know, hold humanity back and, you know, to the whole depopulation agenda. it's just crazy. You know, they're doing this to this beautiful world we live in. And like you said, we could, you know, we could be living in a beautiful, perfect world overnight if we just get these criminals out of control and, you know, start arresting people for treason and you know, executing them when we have to. And, I mean, until people are willing to, you know, start saying this stuff publicly and stop believing the lies that they're told, the lies that are told on the TV and from the government, until people are ready to snap out of it and wake up and actually take a stand and stop being so cowardly and afraid to even think critically. I mean, most people, it seems, well, not most people, but a lot of people, they just seem like they're afraid to even question anything. You know, it's too much work intellectually to think about these things and to actually, you know, sit down and read a book or to investigate what's really going on. People are just so, you know, stuck in this fantasy world that they get on TV and you know, they're so stuck with their sports and all this, you know, crappy, disgusting entertainment that, you know, they don't think to, you know, to kind of step back and take a look at what's really going on.
Well, one reason, John, of course, is because most of them work for the Jews, because the Jews control everything. And this is one thing that I have been totally disgusted with for many years, especially in regards to the courts. The courts are totally corrupt. I spent 7 years in 7 courts trying to rescue my son. I can't think of a single judge that was not a Jew. Most of the prosecutors are Jews. Of course, the prosecutors determine who's going to be charged with a crime. So, you know, they will let people go. Like I've spoken on a previous show about the Senator Frist from Tennessee, whose family company, Hospitals Corporation of America, defrauded the federal government of $1.7 billion, and nobody was arrested. Basically, they agreed to pay the settlement, and so they were allowed to continue to do business with the government after that happened. You know, things like that you can't even conceive of. But since the Jews control everything, I think people know that if they do start investigating things, or God forbid, should they be heard at the water cooler making a comment, you know, they will lose their job and then their family will starve. And that's one of our biggest problems, is that so many people are selling their souls for cash. Look at all these soldiers. I get so disgusted when I hear about heroes. CNN heroes, you know, the idiots who sign up to fight in these fake wars, and I know most of them are doing it because they can't get a job, because I can't believe that the majority of them don't realize at some level that 9/11 was a whole fraud to begin with. But they go over there and they, you know, get their limbs blown off and all the rest of it, and they do so to get a paycheck, killing, raping, doing all the terrible things they're doing to the civilians in these countries. That's why they hate us, is because we're killing off their population. The collateral damage is staggering. And yet they keep on signing up. It makes me sick. And this is one of the biggest problems we have. If these idiots would not sign up, you know, to go over there, not to mention they're being used as experimental guinea pigs, I get calls from soldiers all the time. Well, Dr. Carly, I, you know, listen to your show, and I know the vaccines are very bad, and, you know, they want to give me a bunch of inoculations. I don't know what to do. And my answer is, just say no. You know, you're supposedly so brave, you're willing to kill people who are enemies of America, but you are not willing to stand up to the person that's going to poison you with a needle and say no. These are some of the things that I have a problem, you know, even getting into my consciousness.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, and you raised a couple of really good points. The first is that it's just incredible how the military is just glorified and how everybody just worships the military. And just this is just a perfect example. I have a you know, really short hair. I just basically buzz my hair. And I get, you know, I live in San Diego, tons of military people out here, and I'm always asked if I'm in the military. And I was at a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and our waitress, we were getting ready to leave, And our waitress was saying, oh, thank you so much for protecting us for our freedoms. You know, thank you for your service. And, I mean, it's people like this that is just, are you serious right now? I mean, how could you really say that? How do you not understand that our freedoms are not being protected? They're being taken away from us. And all these wars are just completely fraudulent. Like you said, we're over there murdering and destroying entire nations. And we're supposed to, you know, revere and respect the military as if they're, you know, protecting us from you know, evil and from destruction and whatnot. It's just, it's absolutely incredible how they've propagandized us to the point where we're actually worshiping a military that is doing nothing but the Jews' work. I mean, we're over there attacking all these countries for Israel.
Right.
And I mean, this is what we have to understand, that this agenda, this whole entire global war on terror agenda, is benefiting nobody but Israel and international Jewry. And then another point you made about the whole, you know, the court system and how everything is just so absolutely corrupted. And, I mean, I don't think people understand how bad it really is. And
right.
One thing that really kind of woke me up to this was, you know, this was back before I was even really, you know, aware of what happened on 9/11. I was just sort of, you know, kind of stuck in the whole mainstream mindset. And, you know, I was recognizing that both of the political parties were clearly compromised, and they both of them just basically represented Wall Street and corporate interest and whatnot. And this was back in 2008 when the economy collapsed, and it was proven that, you know, all these big Wall Street banks were engaged in just outrageous criminality, you know, defrauding people, robbing people openly, admitting it publicly and laughing about it in front of Congress, and not a single one of them was arrested.
Exactly.
And because I'm sitting here watching this all unfold, and nobody's being arrested. You know, there's not even any talk of anybody being arrested for committing these crimes. And it just shows the nature of our criminal justice system and how absolutely corrupted it is. To the point where, you know, if you're walking down the street and you have some marijuana, you could be arrested. And you know, the guy on Wall Street is robbing everybody, stealing trillions of dollars, and, you know, he gets a bonus.
Well, we just had a case here in North Carolina, a man who was charged with rape 24 years ago. He had 8 alibi witnesses. Of course, this was back before the days of DNA. They offered him a plea deal. If he would admit he was guilty, he would get a lesser sentence. He refused because he said, I will never admit to something I didn't do. It took 24 years. And just last week, a judge finally admitted that the whole case was a fraud, and they let him out of jail. And what is this poor man supposed to do to get his life back? We have so many cases of this. The district attorney doesn't go to jail for covering up evidence. This is obstruction of justice on a massive level. This is a crime against humanity against this man, because they just want to fill up the jails, and especially people of color, they figure, oh, they'll make a plea deal because, you know, the jury's usually going to be white, and that's actually what they're told. I heard this for myself when I lived in Long Island. I was a court watcher on many of these cases, and I would hear the white public defender tell the black client, you might as well plead guilty because your jury's going to be white. So this goes to the whole prison complex, which is also controlled by the Jews. And once in a blue moon, you know, although I don't even like to use the word honest and attorney in the same sentence, but sometimes a miracle like this will happen where a person accused will be proven to be not guilty. And once again, the obstructors of justice, nothing happens to them. They don't even lose their darn law license. And this continues. We've heard so many cases of this. But yet we have John Corzine, who was governor of New Jersey and had a couple other offices in the government. And I forget the name of his company, something Global Fund. I don't remember if there's another word, something Global Fund. And his company stole $2 billion from their own investors. And I saw the hearings in Congress where he stood there smirking, basically saying, I don't know what happened to the money. We've gone through the books and we can't find it. And nothing has happened to this man. He's not in jail. You can steal $2 billion. But if, you know, you steal a loaf of bread or something like that, you go to jail. Now, this Bernie Madoff thing, what I think is going on in that case, I mean, one of the most hook-nosed Jews you've ever seen, I think the only reason that he went down is he must have pissed somebody off for some other reason. Because what he was doing with his Ponzi scheme, that's the norm. That's how they work.
Oh, yeah, totally. You're exactly right. And what you're speaking of just reminded me of another Jew, Lloyd Blankfein, who is the CEO of Goldman Sachs, I believe. And, I mean, he was in front of Congress basically saying that he's doing God's work. You know, Goldman Sachs is doing God's work. Do you remember this? This was in, like, 2009.
I remember the situation, but I didn't hear that quote. That's priceless.
Well, this is how, you know, just absolutely psychopathic these people are. You know, these Jews on Wall Street and these Jews in the government and these Jews that are behind 9/11 and all these wars. I mean, they literally think that they are gods and that they can do whatever they want. There's no consequences for their actions. And thus far, there has been no consequences for their actions. I mean, you know, we've talked about how all the Wall Street criminals, none of them were prosecuted. None of them were arrested. None of them were sent to jail. Same thing on 9/11. Same thing with all these blatant war crimes. I mean, you got a guy like Bush up there joking about how he was lying about the weapons of mass destruction for the, you know, for the whole Iraq war. These people are just blatantly rubbing it in our faces, and you know, because they know that there's no consequences for their actions. They know that we're too distracted and too dumbed down to actually do anything and to hold them accountable. And it's just, you know, it's absolutely incredible. And another perfect example of the absolutely corrupted nature of our criminal justice system is on 9/11, there were scores of Israeli Mossad agents actually arrested by local police and by FBI. And all of these individuals were ended up being sent back to Israel at the behest of Michael Chertoff, who was in the Justice Department at the time. So, I mean, think about that. We have all these Israelis arrested on 9/11, clearly, you know, involved in what was going on in New York in particular. All of them were arrested, and all of them ended up being sent back to Israel after, you know, a quote-unquote investigation was, you know, conducted. So, I mean, this just shows how absolutely corrupted the whole entire criminal justice system is, that we could have individuals like this arrested on 9/11, clearly connected to what was going on, clearly involved in the conspiracy, and yet they're sent back to Israel because we got a Jew like Michael Chertoff running the Justice Department.
Right, and in regards to Wall Street, I don't remember what year the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed, which was basically a control put in place by Congress where, you know, banks, like the investment part of a bank had to be separate from the, I don't know what you call it, you know, just the regular part of the bank where they're taking in money from people and, you know, and putting it in savings accounts and things of that nature. But as the Congress became more and more invaded by Jews, they actually repealed that act. And that's what happened on Wall Street, because the investment banks, everything got blurred, all the lines got blurred. And I can remember a few years ago learning about something called derivatives. Now, there was a day when the stock market actually meant something where, you know, you would buy stocks in a company and then you would supposedly have part ownership of that company. If that company did well, you would get a dividend, etc. But now what's happening is they've created this monstrosity called derivatives, which is actually a mathematical formula, and it's massive, and nobody can understand it. And that's one of the things that happened with all the mortgages, because these banks would buy up all these mortgages. Nobody even knows who actually holds the mortgage. And now, as of September, the Federal Reserve, I forget how many mortgages they bought up. People don't even realize that it's very likely now that the Federal Reserve actually owned your home. And they can do whatever they want. And eventually, I think there's going to come a point where almost nobody totally, quote-unquote, owns their home. You know, they can throw you out for any they want. And of course, all of these manipulations in the market in terms of the homes is totally a fraud as well. You know, they create a bubble, they pop the bubble, they foreclose on millions of homes and for pennies on the dollar, and then the whole process starts again, and people end up on the street, and basically it's your problem. And now it's gotten so blatant that, you know, they've actually been foreclosing on people who have their homes paid off. And, you know, what are you going to do? Because if you go to court, the judge is a Jew. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And there is no pill for injustice. You know, that's one thing that I've learned personally. You know, you believe what you're taught at school. You know, we have the three parts of our government. Of course, they're all controlled by lawyers, most of which are Jews. And, you know, I call lawyers land sharks. Their job is to create loopholes so that criminals can do whatever they want as long as they're connected. But you believe in our quote-unquote justice system, and then you enter into it. And then you see what's really going on. And this is the legal abuse syndrome is one of the most serious problems that we have, because there's no pill. There's nothing you can do. You're a victim of complete corruption and fraud. Your children were taken for no reason. I just heard a case recently. This boggled my mind, although nothing really surprises me anymore. There was a story on HLN News last week where a 14-year-old girl was raped. She became pregnant, and now her rapist is requesting visitation of the child. Can you imagine?
It's absolutely incredible. You know, that's just a despicable story to even hear about.
Yeah, but this is going on. I mean, and they put these things on the Jew-run media. So basically, you know, callers call in and they say, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, you idiots, there's 800,000 children going missing in this country every year. They're being put into satanic abuse rituals. They're being sacrificed and cannibalized. These are U.S. Justice Department statistics. An FBI guy by the name of Ted Gunderson used to talk about this before they killed him recently. And, of course, you know, we hear about these things, but once again we're left with a conundrum, what do we do? Because I think in actuality they get some kind of a sick thrill out of letting us know just how bad it is. And there's nothing you can do. Basically, until you stop the monsters. And that's why, although I'm a totally peaceful person, I have come to the point where I know that these people have to be stopped. Now, there's a new show on ABC on Thursday nights called Last Resort. Totally fiction, because it's about a group of Navy submarine people who realize their own Navy tries to kill them, you know, as a false flag event so they can blame Palestine. This is actually like the storyline of the show. And when the Navy commander realizes that his own government tried to hit him with a missile, he's got a bunch of nukes on board, so he sends a message to Washington, we do not follow orders from a government that kills its own. And when I saw this, I was thinking, oh, if only this could be true. You know, because you know there must be so many people in the military who took an oath to protect us from domestic terrorists, as well as the outside terrorists. We all know that it's all domestic at this point. If only the military would take a stand. But unfortunately, you know, especially at the lower levels, they use sleep deprivation and all kinds of mind control and vaccines and psychotropic drugs and all the things that they do to dumb them down. But wouldn't it be nice if the military would protect us?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to have to come to a point where we need the military to wake up to what's going on. And there are definitely, you know, elements of the military that I think are waking up and are taking a stand. For instance, Dr. Alan Sobrowski, he was a former U.S. Marine Corps officer. He received his Ph.D. from the University of Michigan. And, you know, he actually taught at the U.S. Army War College. You know, a very respectable, you know, member of the military. I mean, he's retired now. But he actually came out and straight up said that Israel was behind 9/11. And I have a good quote from him here that I could read real quick.
Yeah.
He said only two intelligence agencies had the expertise, access, and political protection to execute 9/11 in the air and on the ground, our CIA and Israel's Mossad. Only one had the incentive, using the who benefits principle, Mossad, and that incentive dovetailed perfectly with the neocons' agenda and explicitly expressed need for a catalytic event to mobilize the American public for the wars, using American military power to destroy Israel's enemies. Only the unexpected strength of the Iraqi resistance kept Syria and Iran from being attacked in the second Bush administration. Thus, the evidential trail for 9/11 and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan run from PNAC, AIPAC, and their cohorts through the mostly Jewish neocons in the Bush administration and back to the Israeli government. I mean, those are very powerful words for a former U.S. Marine Corps officer to be speaking and writing about. So, I mean, this is a good sign. And, I mean, he wrote this a couple of years ago. And, if we could only just get our guys in the military to wake up to this and stop participating in these wars, and, in fact, go ahead and just march on Washington and arrest everybody in the federal government right away, that's what we need.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I can remember now Mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, who is from a family of Mossad, making a comment back when he worked for Obama, something to the effect of, how disasters give us a good opportunity to go forward with some agenda. I mean, we now have disaster capitalism. They cause the disasters, and then they make money on the cleanup operation or whatever, all the while depopulating the earth further. And it's mind-boggling, the enormity of it all. But I'm very glad to hear what you said about this retired military man. Of course, we didn't hear about that on the mainstream media. If only, the military could learn about this, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on press TV talking about this. He's done some interviews, on talk radio and whatnot. But, I haven't really heard much from him since then. But yeah, it's just incredible that this stuff can go on and nobody asks any questions, nobody takes a stand. And I think it kind of goes back to, especially the guys in the military, the guys and gals in the military, they're just out there doing their job. They don't want to ask any questions. They just go with the program and act like everything is all good when everything is not all good and they need to kind of wake up. I mean, they're committing war crimes. All of them are committing war crimes, participate in these wars.
Yeah, I mean, what is their job? Their job is to kill innocent people. See, that's what boggles my mind. I cannot even conceive of getting a job where your job is to kill people under the orders of somebody that you don't even know what the true, truth is behind the reason you're being ordered to do so. And actually, I realized some time ago we're hearing about so many soldiers committing suicide or coming home with post-traumatic stress disorder, I realized that those are the people that have a conscience. And there comes a point where they realize what they are doing. Because you see, you can be commanded to do evil, but if you have a conscience, you're supposed to say no. And yeah, you may be court-martialed or whatever. But if you know you're doing evil, you cannot do evil. The only soldiers who don't get post-traumatic stress disorder are the psychopaths who go in there because they love to kill. And that's what we're seeing now. But I was amazed to hear recently on some show, I forget the exact statistics, but the number of soldiers killing themselves is off the charts. They're taking themselves out because they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If you're over in some foreign country, thousands of miles away from your friends and family and the people you love, and you're just basically being commanded to go destroy the place and to murder anybody that steps in your way, of course it's going to have some very negative effects on you. And you're right, we're seeing a lot of soldiers come back home and they, like you said, they have PTSD. Or, they'll have alcohol or drug problems or problems with their family and their wives and whatnot. And, we're supposed to glorify the military, and yet we treat our veterans like crap. I mean, I'm in San Diego, and there's probably more homeless veterans out here than anywhere else in the whole country. And, you know, and yet we're still supposed to glorify and love our military, and we don't even take care of them, you know?
Well, not only that, but see, they know that the men and women coming back from these fake wars know what's going on, especially in Afghanistan, where they're actually being ordered to protect the poppy fields. And the amazing thing about that whole situation, the Taliban was trying to stop the poppy seed farming and actually getting, you know, the farmers to grow other things. And that's one of the main reasons we went to Afghanistan, because our government doesn't want the poppy seed to stop growing, because there's over 500 drugs in this country that are made out of opium. And so they are protecting the poppy fields. That is their job. So just imagine, I can't even picture it, although in some ways I saw it when I was a medical doctor, although I got out before I realized about the vaccine thing. But, you know, to sign up to, quote-unquote, protect your country, and then to go over there and you're being asked to protect the poppy seed, like, you know, what kind of a Twilight Zone moment would that be for you? But then, of course, you know that if you come home and start talking about that, there's going to be a problem. And that's the reason whenever I get a call from a veteran, I always tell them what I would do if I was you is stop going to the veterans hospital immediately, because they are intentionally killing the veterans for a couple of reasons, one of which is so they don't spill the beans, but another reason is because just like with the Medicare Trust Fund, which Congress stole long ago, you know, that was the gift Ross Perot gave us when he ran for president, is that he was the one that revealed that. There is no trust fund. They used it for some black ops, who knows, whatever. So, you know, rather than print more Federal Reserve notes, they're killing the elderly in hospitals, hospices, etc. I have so much proof of that, it's unbelievable. But they're killing the veterans, too, because they don't want them to spill the beans, and they don't want them to collect their quote-unquote benefits, because, once again, that involves printing more Federal Reserve notes, which, you know, there comes a point where they just can't do it fast enough.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something that we all have to understand. We are all being fleeced. We are all being robbed. We are all being mistreated. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, unless you're one of these high-level Jews or high-level insiders, everybody is being screwed here, and, you know, we just have to wake up to it. And this, you know, getting back to Afghanistan, I don't think there's any doubt that one of the main reasons we went to Afghanistan was because of the drugs. And if you remember Pat Tillman, he was an NFL football player, and after 9/11, he joined the military, and he went over to Afghanistan, and he was going to come back and really expose what was going on and how the military was involved with, you know, the opium production and shipping the opium overseas to sell and whatnot. And they basically took him out. You know, I don't know all the details, and I don't know if anybody really knows all the details, but it certainly looks like he was taken out because he was really going to spill the beans. And, you know, they had
the nerve to lie to the family, and then the family had to do their own investigation, and then finally it was admitted to the family, oh, yeah, it was a friendly fire situation. Sorry, we didn't quite, you know, tell you the truth in the beginning. But you know that he must have been talking to his family. So imagine the position that these people are put into, knowing that their, you know, son found out what was going on, and then he was killed by his own government to keep him quiet, because being a former NFL player, he would have had some clout.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He definitely would have had some clout, and people would have, you know, listened to him and taken what he had to say seriously, and then that's a big reason why they had to take him out. You know, they cannot let the truth get out, and they just completely control the media and any mainstream outlet of information, and you will absolutely not find anything truthful in the mainstream. That's sure. Everything benefits their agenda. You know, anything that deviates from it or anything that's even, you know, slightly off of their agenda, they will suppress and not allow into the mainstream.
As a matter of fact, I try to watch C-SPAN every morning as I'm doing my morning chores. I have it back on in the background. They have a show called Washington Journal, and this is a call-in show where people around the country can call in. Of course, I'm not allowed on anymore. I always get, you know, knocked off if I do get into the queue. But it's truly amazing how everything is controlled. I mean, you can actually see the people that run the show, the various people they have on there. They have those curlicue microphones, speakers or whatever, into their heads, into their ears. Like, just like in the movie Matrix, the agents, they have those same things going into their ears. And if anybody makes a call, making a comment on Israel or anything else, they get immediately dropped off the conversation. You can say anything you want about a Muslim, especially a Muslim, they love that. They eat that stuff up. But, you know, anything about the Jews or about Israel, you get cut off immediately. So that's one place where I see the most obvious control happening. And, in fact, you know, I've watched C-SPAN for many years. They actually used to have some, you know, good information on their occasion. But now, the questions that they'll ask is, you know, ridiculous questions. Like, you know, which candidate do you think has a better answer to solving our financial crisis? Give me a break. The financial crisis is being caused intentionally. I mean, all we have to do is tell the Federal Reserve, sorry, we're not going to pay your debt that you charged us for printing Federal Reserve notes. I mean, and that's how you know what a fraud Ron Paul is. He wants to audit them. How about we eliminate them?
How about we owe them every one of them?
Yeah, exactly. We owe them nothing. And this is how they're controlling all the countries. As a matter of fact, as soon as I heard about this CIA-orchestrated Arab Spring, what a joke. I know the Muslims, one of the main things about the Muslims is they do not engage in usury. And one of the main reasons that they had to take out the leaders of these Arab countries is so that the World Bank could move in and take control of their financial system. Because that's the primary way they're controlling the entire world. I mean, look at Africa. Especially with Africa, because Africa has more natural resources than probably any other continent. So they get the corrupt leaders to agree to, you know, let the World Bank come in, give them a few bucks, and then charge ridiculous interest that they can never pay off. And then they have to agree to vaccination programs and all kinds of other things in order to get any food brought in whatsoever. They use HAARP and chemtrails to make sure that farmers can't grow enough food. And another amazing article I sent you was an article off of Infowars.com, which I'm not exactly a big fan of Alex Jones, but occasionally he does have some very good information. And he published on his website on October 4th, 2012, an article entitled Leading World Bank Demographer, Vaccination Campaigns, Part of Population's Reduction Policy. And once again, in our face, because I also downloaded the transcript of this John F. May, who was the leading demographer for the World Bank between 1992 to 2012, actually admitted to the French web journal Sens Public that they were using vaccination campaigns, especially in high fertility countries, as a means to achieve population reduction. So there you go. It's a method of killing. I have been calling vaccines inoculations the true weapons of mass destruction for years. And if you go to my DrCarly.com site, it's towards the top of the site, I actually found the definition of weapons of mass destruction, you know, legally. And when you read that definition, you know they're talking about vaccines, biological weapons. But here we have an admission that the World Bank is engaging in vaccine promotion. And this is part of their, you know, wish to go along with that whole Agenda 21 thing to decrease the population by 90%. So that's one of my main goals, is to get people to face reality. vaccines are not for public health. They are for population reduction on many levels, creating disease, killing you outright, or also by putting different ingredients in vaccines, they can actually cause women to become infertile. And this is not what I believe. I have a book called Immunological Adjuvants in Vaccines, published by NATO, and they actually have a chapter in here about experiments they've done using vaccines to cause infertility.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's incredible how open they are with their agenda nowadays. You know, they don't even really hide it anymore. They're just openly saying, you know, the vaccines are for depopulation and stuff like that. It's just incredible. And, you know, getting back to the whole Federal Reserve issue, I mean, the idea that, you know, it's legitimate to have a private central bank loan money at interest to our government is just absurd. I mean, this whole concept of usury and private central banking is just totally illegitimate. It's totally corrupted. And it's inevitable. If you have a private Jewish central bank in particular, they are going to end up owning everything. They're going to own everything, you know, at the end of the day in a matter of years. And that's what we've seen ever since 1913. They've just solidified their control over the economy and the government, you know, with each day, basically. I mean, they lock up control even further. And I mean, it was one of the Rothschilds who said, give me control of the nation's money and I care not who makes its laws. So, right. I mean, this idea of private central banking as a legitimate, you know, ordering of society is got to go. I mean, we cannot allow this to go on any further. And, you know, it's so obvious if you just stop and think about it for a moment. You know, why do we have a private bank loaning money to our government at interest, you know, to fund its operations? Why don't we just print the money ourselves, you know?
It's totally insane. I mean, it would take a psychopath to come up with this idea. And there's many excellent books on this whole situation that happened at Jekyll Island. You know, during the Christmas vacation, they got a few Jews together to go and, you know, basically sign this without the Congress even being involved, as far as I can recollect. And the fact is that the others in Congress, see, they're all afraid of the Jews. Everybody's afraid of the Jews. Well, there's more of us than there is of them. So how about if we stop being afraid? As I said, I do not promote violence, but if somebody is killing you, taking everything you have, robbing you blind, stealing your children, raping your children, then it's time to defend yourself. See, that's one of the main things that they've taken away from the people. There was a monstrous researcher by the name of Delgado. I have one of his books in terms of how to manipulate aggression. And basically that's one of the things that they've done, especially with the men who are supposed to be the protectors. They've feminized them with pesticides, BPA. They've done all kinds of things to them. That's why you see all these commercials. Do you have low T, low testosterone? Of course, they don't tell you why you got low testosterone. But also watching the games, circumcision is highly evolved because that causes trauma at the cellular level at a very young age, and men actually can become, you know, basically hating their mothers. I've done many shows on this as well. There's always many layers to this. But they're trying to get the men to stop protecting their families. And this really came home to me this past week or two ago, when there was some kind of a situation. The NFL had a bunch of their referees that went on strike for whatever reason, and they brought in these scab referees, and the scab referees were making some bad calls, and the men were outraged. They were outraged. They were throwing cans and bottles onto the field and all this stuff. While their children are being poisoned and killed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's a diversion tactic, and I understand how it works. But, you know, why aren't the men standing up for their own families? That I can't see how they can't see. I really can't, although I know many of them work for the Jews.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're making so many good points. And it just reminds me of, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Aldous Huxley.
Yeah.
He was an author. Yeah, there was a quote. He was giving a speech in California at the California Medical School in 1961, and he sort of described what he envisioned as like a final revolution. And he was warning us of what could potentially happen to our society. And I have the quote here. I'll just read it real quick.
Yeah.
He said, there will be, in the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to me the final revolution. And I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, if you look at the vaccines and the whole the pharmacological drugs that were given, and the television, this Jewish entertainment, the promotion of sports and all these degenerate behaviors, this is exactly what Huxley was warning us about back in the 60s. And I think we see this in our society today.
Oh, definitely. And the psychiatric drugs are a very big part of this. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest movements in psychiatry, which, first of all, let me say, there is no such thing as mental illness. Mental illness is due to a nutritional deprivation, toxins. As a matter of fact, even vaccines can cause certain mental problems like schizophrenia, and I have documentation of all these things. And sometimes there can be spiritual issues as well. But the main thing is that they have invented this field of psychiatry. They used to do treatments with people, lobotomies, where they would stick an ice pick up your nose and they would actually sever the connections between your brain. They can now do this with psychiatric drugs. It's called the chemical lobotomy. And also combining this with electroshock therapy. As a matter of fact, this shill for Big Pharma named Oz, I call him the Wizard of Oz. I try to watch his show every day as much as I can. And this just goes to show the genius of how they manipulate people, because they put a white coat on TV. Of course, Oprah deemed him America's doctor, first of all. So she gave him the coronation to start to make people to trust him. And he will be on there, and he'll say, oh, this herb is good for that, or this supplement's good for that. But he promotes vaccinations. He promotes microwave food. Anytime he's got anybody on there cooking anything, it's always microwave, which destroys all the nutrients. But one of the most amazing shows that I saw a couple months ago, he was actually promoting electroshock therapy, saying how good this is to help people that have depression that doesn't respond to other therapy. So between electroshock therapy and psychotropic drugs, this is how they're doing a mind wipe on so many people. I happened to be at a Staples a couple of years ago. When I do consults for people, I give a massive amount of handouts because my goal is to teach them what I know, what to do, what not to do, etc. It's not just a matter of me saying do this or that. And the person before me at the copy machine had left some papers in there, which were amazing to me. And this must have been, it was before 2005, because that's when I left New York. So it goes back at least that far. And they were doing a lecture, obviously, and they had a handout in there that said that 40% of the American population is on psychotropic drugs. 40%. And it's higher in hospitalized patients, because you see, once you go to a hospital, they have total control over you. So if you should, say anything that they don't like, or, protest whatever that they don't want you to protest, next thing you know, you're on psychotropic drugs. And this is one of the major ways that they're causing a mind wipe in the population. And also, let me just say, this whole idea of depression cracks me up. What a fraud. How can anybody that has any awareness at all not find themselves a little depressed on occasion when they realize we're being murdered? when you look up and you see they're spraying you like a bug. How can you not be depressed? Their answer is to go to a white coat, get a prescription. I mean, Aldous Huxley, you know, what can I say? He was a visionary, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, that's one thing. I mean, I haven't had health insurance for like 3 years now, 4 years almost, I think. And you know, I avoid the doctor. You know, I try to eat good food and get good exercise and get out in the sunshine and whatnot. And I don't really have any health problems. So, I mean,
And you don't get vaccinated, right, John?
No, I mean, when I was a kid, I did, unfortunately, but... No, no. Okay. I mean, I haven't had a shot or anything like that for years, and then I don't plan on getting any shots anytime soon.
Right. Well, sometime I could teach you how to detoxify that, because everybody, in my opinion, should detoxify vaccines, because those viruses remain in your body and mutate and do things. But of course, obviously, the first important thing is to just say no and stop them. But in regards to health insurance, see, that's another. A psychological operation that they've had on us, because basically nothing that works is covered by insurance. You know, you can't get a consult from me using insurance. You can't go to an acupuncturist, a naturopath, and now even the chiropractors are being told that their treatments won't be covered. And so basically people that are paying $15,000-$20,000 a year for insurance, you know, they're going to say, well, I'm going to do something covered by insurance. Which, of course, all those treatments are going to make you sick and eventually kill you. And that's why they invented insurance. And it was actually amazing to me, you know, as the control, you know, just basically rivets up, when they came up with this Obamacare, where they're going to force us to get insurance. I haven't had insurance for 15 years. I have excellent insurance on my car. If I get in an accident, that will cover it, although I know they'd kill me at the hospital anyways. But anyways, I would never go to a white coat for any reason. I know what to do myself, and I do my own stuff. And so now, thanks to our, you know, Jewish Supreme Court, they're going to mandate that, yeah, this is okay. Obama did the right thing. So if you don't get insurance, you're going to have to pay a tax, a fee, a penalty, an extortion, whatever. And what I tell people what I would do is pay the fee. Because once you, now the way they've got it written up, if you get insurance, the insurance company is going to tell you you can't keep your insurance unless you get mammograms, which cause breast cancer, unless you get vaccines, etc. So the ways that they have to increase their control is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, if you go to any store, any grocery store or whatever, or CVS or, you know, any of these pharmacy type stores, all you see all around is, you know, get your flu vaccine, get your whooping cough vaccine, get this vaccine, get that vaccine. I mean, it's just constantly pushed. And I've always been skeptical about, you know, all this stuff. So, I mean, after listening to your show and hear you talk about this sort of stuff, I'm done with the whole established medical industry. It seems to be nothing but a fraud, and you
it's
know,
all Jewish. It's all, yeah. It's basically all Jewish. And I try to use humor sometimes to get people to, you know, open their eyes just a little bit. And what I tell people is, yeah, okay, the schedule for vaccines is increasing every year. Let's just take the idea of a vaccine to begin with. They're telling you that, you know, whooping cough, pertussis, measles, whatever, that this is bad. Of course, I had all these diseases as a child. I developed lifelong natural immunity, not a problem, a couple days home from school. But let's say that these things are bad. And their answer is to take the bugs, put them in a vial, add mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, propylene glycol, which is antifreeze, the list is endless, and inject it directly into your bloodstream. Okay, so if that's the solution, what we should all be doing is walking around with IV bags full of viruses. As a matter of fact, we should be drinking out of our toilets, because that will protect us.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, the idea that, well, one thing that I've learned a lot from you is just the fact that, you know, these vaccines are really just a corrupter of our immune systems. They don't benefit our immune systems. They, in fact, corrupt it, you know, corrupt it.
Yeah.
And it's totally unnatural. There's nothing natural about these vaccines. You know, they're manufactured by, you know, by men, basically, or women. And, you know, there seems to be nothing beneficial, you know, with these vaccines. And everything is just, it's incredible, you know. And this is an issue that people still struggle with. I mean, I talk to, like, friends and family about this. And it's so hard to wake people up and to get them to actually look into this and just sort of wake up to it. But,
well, let me just say, there is a big benefit to depopulation agendas and to pediatricians. Because you say, see, what does a pediatrician do? They weigh the child, they measure the child, they vaccinate them, and create all autoimmune disease, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, and genetic damage in people and in pets. And the paper I wrote many years ago, which is on drcrowley.com, entitled Inoculations of True Weapons of Mass Destruction, I actually figured out how the vaccines corrupt the immune system. And I think that was back in 2005. I've updated it a couple times. But now I have to just get my book out about these issues because I have hundreds and hundreds of research papers from all over the world that back up everything I say. Because, you see, once again, they do publish this stuff. They like to tell each other what they're up to. Oh, yeah, we've developed a way to create lupus from hepatitis B, etc., etc. But, of course, the pediatricians, they're just like robots. You know, they're just injecting people, giving prescriptions for steroids and such. They don't have any time to do any research, and a lot of them don't have a clue at the lower levels. But at the higher levels, they're doing it all on purpose. And this is what people have to realize. This is why I have been targeted to the degree that I have, where they've taken my only child, they took away my medical license, they've tried to kill me 3 times, because I was one of them. And after spending, you know, 17 years in college, medical school, residency, etc., and hundreds of thousands of dollars in school loans, when I saw what they were doing, I said, no, I will not be part of this group anymore. And that's when I went on the offensive against them, because they don't want, you know, one of their trained people to come out and say what's really going on. I have all my medical books, all my notes from medical school, all the transcripts. And when I finally get time to finish my book, it is going to put them out of business. That's my goal, to cause the death of medicine. Because I have so much proof that they have actually been corrupted enough to where they're now causing disease and killing people. You know, it's just mind-boggling. And that's my goal. You know, I try to have guests on talking about all these issues. But if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And if your brain is not working, you can't use, you know, logic and critical thinking. So that's why, that's my main focus, is to get people healthy where their brains are working.
Yeah, well, God bless you for doing everything you're doing and you have done. It's you know, really, really good that there's people like you out there that are not afraid to, you know, to speak the truth and expose what's really going on. And you make a good point. I mean, you can really figure out what's going on just by reading what some of these psychopaths say, you know, in their journals or, you know, in their speeches and whatnot. You can really figure out the agenda and what's really going on. It just takes some time and some dedication on each of us, you know, each one of us has to sit down and really do this. And that's where the struggle is how do we get enough people to actually look into this stuff and to think for themselves and to use their critical thinking abilities and you know, to sit down and figure this stuff out. That's where the problem is.
Well, and I would just add that they have to be able to conceive that the level of evil that actually exists does exist. Sometimes it takes them to watch their grandmother be killed intentionally. I got a call this past week from a woman in California whose grandmother's in hospice, and they actually called the family and said, you better all come by such and such a date to say goodbye to grandma, because we're going to give her that final morphine injection on such and such a date. I mean, basically admitting they were going to kill her and things of that. Or you have to go into court. you have to have your child stolen for, you know, feeding the child organic food and not letting them get exposed to McDonald's. You can't imagine how many cases I have heard over the last 15 years of things such as this. So some people, it takes them to be personally affected in some way to get them to open their eyes. What I've realized is that the people who won't listen, and that includes my own family, who are being killed off one at a time because they won't listen, those people are going to die. I don't waste my time on those people. They're breathing my oxygen. They're aiding and abetting by their silence. So I don't care about those people. Eventually, it's going to come to the point where we have the psychopaths and the people who see the psychopaths. And that's when it's going to get interesting. And I can't wait for that to happen.
Oh, I can't wait for that day to come either. I've been waiting for it for the past 3 years now, ever since I kind of woke up to this stuff. And yeah, you're exactly right. It's going to be basically the people who are aware of what's going on and the people who are, you know, the ones doing all the, you know, doing all these evil things and starting all these wars and, you know, behind this depopulation agenda and whatnot. I think it's really going to come to that. There's going to be, you know, two different segments of society, the people who are on board with this criminal evil agenda and the people who recognize it and who are trying to do something about it and, you know, protect themselves and defend themselves.
And this applies even to the psychopaths in the military and the robocops. You see, they're going to be killed off as well. And what I'm hoping is that we will have some remain that do have a conscience and that eventually they'll get together because they can be the ones, you know, with the guns that go in and say, okay, you know, you're under arrest. We're taking you out wherever, quarantine you, you know, like some kind of a plague. That's what has to happen. But I just want to say we got a message in the chat. Ravana is asking about the devil's breath scopolamine. I did a show about that. I can't remember on which network a few weeks ago. But scopolamine is another mind-altering substance that they've actually come up with where all they need to do is blow it in your face. And I actually saw a special on this. Where it gets people to appear normal, but like, for example, somebody could blow scopolamine in your face. They could tell you, take me into your house and help me load my van with all of your electronic equipment, and you would just do it. You would just follow orders, and then, you know, later on when it wakes up and you realize all your stuff is gone, and then you realize, well, I helped them load it into the van. Yeah, there's all kinds of things. There's so many layers to what these monsters have done. And the most amazing thing to me is that any of us have the wherewithal to keep our consciousness intact. Of course, you have to stay away from those HDTVs. You have to stay away from the white coats. You have to try to eat as good food as you can and drink clean water. There's all kinds of electronic protection steps you can take to protect yourself. From different, you know, cell phones are very bad, smart meters. I mean, the list of the assaults on us are endless. And that's why, although on my show, I talk about the answer to the question, what's ailing America or what's ailing the world, that it's endless, and trying to lure people to some of the leaves on the tree of evil, we have to get down to the root. And that's why I've been doing more and more shows about these psychopathic Jews. Because from my research and my experience, there is no question that that is where the plague lies.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, if anybody's honestly investigating this, you know, that every rock you look under, there's a Jew, you know, behind it. Almost every single agenda, it's, you know, it's a Jewish agenda. And I mean, the big lies, which we started out the program with, you know, the Holocaust fraud and, you know, 9/11, these are just so obvious at this point that, you know, if you can investigate these two events and, you know, really think critically about what's going on, then, you know, you can start connecting all these other dots. And that's something that I always try to emphasize, you know, on my blog. That's why, you know, I spend so much time, you know, about on 9/11 and on the Holocaust, is just because these really are the two big lies that, you know, that Adolf Hitler talked about, the whole big lie technique. These are the two big lies that really underpin their agenda. And, you know, sort of form the basis of their foreign policy and their agenda in the Middle East and really around the world. So, You know, it's good that, you know, we have people like you that can cover the medical angle and, you know, the whole depopulation agenda and all that, which is, you know, just as important as everything else. But I think these two big lies are what people really need to wake up to and understand.
Well, I think the vaccine situation is equally important, because if you don't have your health, you have nothing and you can't think. So we have to stop the killing and maiming of the population. See, because this is another way that they distract people. I have a couple of clients, parents, who have four autistic children. Now, if you want to talk living in a hell on earth, to have four terribly disabled children, talk about a distraction. There is no way that you can possibly start investigating things, because your life is in absolute hell. And so, you know, people have to stop maiming their children and get them healthy so that they can have more time to check things out, and stop worrying about the soccer games and all the other stuff that you're doing. Stop working. I wish mothers would stop working so that they can keep up with the Joneses. Homeschool your children. Teach them the truth. You know, have them listen to shows like this as their history lesson, instead of going to school to be brainwashed with the propaganda. I mean, if more people were doing things like this, you know, the turnover would be much faster.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you do make some very good points. You can't do anything if you don't have your health and, you know, a sound mindset. And that's very true, which is, you know, why I always try to eat healthy and, you know, eat good food and not, you know, this crap that you get at McDonald's and you know, these other fast food restaurants. And, yeah, I mean, it's all of these topics are extremely important. And, you know, we really have to do our homework and, you know, figure out what's going on if we want to combat this and, you know, live decent, you know, happy, healthy lives with our families. So all we're really doing is defending ourselves. That's something we have to think about and understand.
Exactly. Forget this turn the other cheek crap. You know, I mean, you know, the Bible has been so corrupted. You know, from what I've read in the Bible, you know, Jesus is in the temples of the money changers kicking butt and turning over tables and stuff. But then allegedly he's saying turn the other cheek so you can be slapped again. You know, people are being so brainwashed to love your neighbor. You know, it doesn't matter whatever your neighbor's doing. You know, just love, love, love. No, you got to protect your family. That comes first. You know, love those who deserve to be loved. But if those people are hurting you, no matter what, you know, uniform they're wearing, you have to stand up and protect your family. And we're running out of time so fast. I just want to read something I always like to read on any shows I do about the Jew psychopath. And this is the last sentence of the 10th Protocol of Zion. And this is what it says. And this one sentence tells us exactly what they're doing. And, of course, it's amazing how this book, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, has been, you know, touted by the Jews. Oh, it's a fabrication, it's a cartoon, blah, blah, blah. Well, if any of you takes the time to read it, you will find that everything in there is happening. So how can it be a fabrication? But this one sentence says it all. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relationships with their government so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation by the inoculation of diseases, which is in capital letters, by want, so that the goy see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty in money and in all else. And when I saw that inoculation of diseases was in capital letters, you know, that was a moment for me. So that, like I said, that one sentence says it all. This is what they're doing, and we see more and more issues of starvation, torture, et cetera, et cetera. It's happening more and more all the time. Okay, so we only have a couple minutes left. John, please, you know, follow up with any place you'd like to go.
Well, yeah, that quote you just read really kind of sums things up, and I'm glad that you read that. And to close out the show, I'd just like to read a quote from George Orwell, and this is what I have on the top of my blog. And he said, "During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And we need more people to, you know, to speak the truth and not be afraid to speak the truth. And, you know, really call these people out and name the Jews as the enemy, because they are the ones behind all this, and we have to get over this fear of the Jews. You know, like I said, we're only defending ourselves. This is, you know, this is something that we all have to get over and stop being so intimidated by these people." And I just thank you very much for having me on the program, and keep up the good work. I'll look forward to your future shows to learn more about this whole medical mafia. And God bless you. Thank you for doing all you're doing.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to the show once it's posted. It'll probably go up by tomorrow. But I'm laughing as you're reading that quote from George Orwell. That's the bumper sticker on my car. And my license plate is "No, the number 2, Vax." And then I have some bumper stickers with my website on it saying "Inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction." And it's very funny, you know, as I'm cruising around and I'll be stopped at a stop sign or whatever, you know, sometimes I'll see people, you know, staring at the back of my car, you know, writing down my website or whatever. So, you know, that's how I roll, you know, no matter what I'm doing, I'm spreading the truth. But, you know, that George Orwell quote is a very good one. And I had experience a couple years ago, a cop pulled me over because I had just turned out of my road and I hadn't put my seatbelt on. You know, what a crime. And he saw the stuff on the back of my car, and especially the "No 2 Vax." And he started asking me as he's writing up my ticket, my wife is a nurse, and she was talking to me, you know, they're trying to get her to get a flu shot, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she doesn't want to do it. And I spent like 15 minutes talking to this cop. Actually, it was a sheriff. I gave him a book. I gave him a bunch of handouts and DVDs that I had with me, because I'm always loaded, you know, with stuff to wake up people as I'm traveling around. And he thanked me for it very well, and then he handed me the ticket. I mean, that was a moment, you know. He said, "I hope you know I'm just doing what I have to do." And I'm like, yeah, that's what the people that are causing all of our problems say as well. Have a nice day. So anyways, that was a moment.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're out of time. Thank you again, John. Please give out your blog spot again to the listeners.
Sure, yeah. It's johnfriendsblog.blogspot.com. And I think if you just do a Google search for John Friend's blog, it should come up. There, you know, I got all sorts of information about 9/11 and the fraudulent global war on terror, and some interesting information about the Holocaust, and all sorts of other good links to good information.
Okay, and I hope maybe you'll add my link on there about the vaccine. Okay, folks, we're out of time, and let me just mention...